On today's episode, I have two guests with me, and they are two halves of a brand new date night event company called Real Social Hawaii. Kendria, who is a good friend of mine, is a wax specialist at European Wax Center, and her business partner, Courtney, is a certified public accountant. And together, they recently decided to explore entrepreneurship and launch Real Social Hawaii to both connect local singles, as well as create positive experiences for couples through having fun and creative date night events. So these girls understand through their own mix of experiences that dating and relationships are awkward enough as it is. But then you throw hookup culture into the mix and it all gets weird. I'm pretty positive we all know at least one person who has like a weird dating app story. So Kendria and Courtney saw that there was a big need for a genuine and authentic way for singles to meet, other than popular dating apps like Tinder and all of that. What they see is an opportunity to cultivate a culture of connectivity that not only offers a fun way for people to get together, but also educates people in who are interested in restoring empathy and love back into their dating and relationship life. I really enjoyed sitting down with these women because they're really enthusiastic about the journey that they're on to launch this business, and they have great ideas about how to encourage people to have better and more fulfilling connections with each other. In this conversation, we talk about how Kendria and Courtney came together on their idea to launch Real Social Hawaii. We talk about being honest with ourselves about our self-awareness, how we as people tend to project our internalized conflict onto our relationship with others, and how eventually we can grow through that. We discuss them establishing their brand and becoming a new business, what their hopes are for what their business will grow into, and what they'd like to accomplish for the people that they seek to serve. We share some very personal stories about being vulnerable, being loved, and being authentic and unapologetic about the passion with which we live our lives. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that this is their first podcast feature that they've ever done. So I'm super stoked and I'm very humbled that I get to be part of them telling their story and sharing what they envision for the future of their business. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Test, test, test. Okay, perfect. All right. Hi, guys.
Hi.
You guys ready to do this?
I'm nervous.
We're ready.
Yes, we're ready.
Don't be nervous. It's just me.
I know.
Like I said, you know what my coochie look like.
Yes.
So for my listeners, I have with me Kendria and Courtney. And Kendria and I have gone back a little bit. What would you say? At least a couple years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two years, I think.
Kendria has been my wax specialist for quite some time now. So we've bonded over that. And recently, she's kind of like ventured on with her business partner, Courtney, to start a dating
date night event company.
Date night event company. Yeah. Sorry, apologies.
No, you're fine.
So we're here to talk about that. We're here to talk about dating, how awkward it can be sometimes, maybe, if we want to dive into that.
The struggle, yes. Yeah. The struggle is real.
Mm-hmm. And just, like, what you guys got upcoming for your business? Because yes. This is brand new, right?
Brand new.
All right.
We haven't even thrown
our event.
Yeah, first ever event. It's going to be on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
A singles mixer. So we're looking for singles ages 27 to 40 that are looking to meet other singles and learn something new about dating.
But I like the way you guys put it. I have your little flyer here for the Valentine's Day Singles Mixer. It's a singles mixer reimagined. A non-cringy, easy breezy, not too sleazy, offline type of night. I dig it.
Love it. Not too sleazy.
I love it.
Just a little sleazy, though.
Just a little bit.
Small pinch. Okay.
I mean, you know, you got to give like a little bit of taste
or
something.
Yeah,
just
a little bit.
Yes, just a little bit of flavor.
The curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Keep a little mystery.
So how did you guys meet? How do you guys know each other?
So Courtney and I met the same way you and I met.
Okay.
I'm actually her wax specialist too.
Okay.
But I kept my pants on.
Yeah, she kept her pants on.
All I'm saying is like once you go back or once you start waxing, like you can't go back.
No,
there's
you
just
can't.
No going back.
The benefits of waxing are just so amazing. Yeah. I love how soft it makes the hair.
Yeah. So if you're a woman and you're thinking about it, just give it a shot at least once.
Yeah. Come see me. Oh, I don't know if I can actually even say the business I work for.
I mean, I don't see why not.
Okay, well, yeah. Come see me at European Wax Center. Pro City. Yes. I'd love to service you guys.
So, what I love about this coming up, right? Like, because you guys have just started this. It's your first major event, and you've been sitting on this idea for a minute.
Yeah.
What I love is that, like, in the same way that I would always talk about my podcast and, like, my entrepreneurship and stuff when I would come go and see Kendria, mm-hmm. she would talk to me about, you know, the dating thing and how mm-hmm. awkward it is. And, you know, I want to start this blog. And remember you started, like, doing videos on Instagram and
yes,
stuff?
Yes,
and we would always talk about it. And so it's so nice to see this idea kind of, like, growing.
Yes,
into absolutely. Something different. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing Kendria Dates for 2 years now, or coming up on 3 years, actually.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, three years.
Gosh.
Yeah. And just like you said, it was a tiny little idea, and I just kept rolling with it. Mm-hmm. And the same way I met you, I met her, and just like how you mentioned that you were on your journey, Courtney was on hers,
mm-hmm.
and she was a social media marketer.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's actually an accountant full-time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to tell this. This is your story.
Yeah, we were talking a little about it. I mean, introduce yourself.
I mean, I do bookkeeping mainly, mm-hmm. but for small businesses. Mm-hmm. So I also offer some social media services. So because of that, she basically just asked me, like, oh, so what do you do? You know, mm-hmm. like the very first time we met. And so when I told her, oh, I have my own bookkeeping business and I also do some social media marketing, so it's great, you know, these companies pay me to just post stuff on their social media. She shared with me that she had just started this blog. And so from there was like, I as a woman, especially a woman in business, have never felt that level of enthusiasm or support from basically a stranger.
And another woman, no less.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love where this is going, guys.
Exactly. So, like, that really just stuck with me, you know, because it was like, I mean, yeah, it was so awesome to feel, like, seen and supported.
And heard.
And heard, yeah, all of it.
We've definitely had a lot of yes girls between you and I.
In conversation, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically the same energy that you and I had is mm-hmm. the same exact energy that me and Courtney had. Yeah.
That's awesome. So how did the idea come about? Like, I mean, you know, I know you guys were talking about social media, but, like, what was the aha moment where you're like, you know what? Let's do this.
Courtney, it was like a few sessions in.
Yeah.
Courtney actually was like, where do you want to go with this vlog? Like, you're so, like, I was doing the vlog every single day.
Yeah.
So she was like, you're doing it every day, but, like, where do you want to go? And I was like, it's just a passion. I don't really know. I had zero direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I just was like, I'm just doing it. I like doing it. So I'm going to keep doing it until something happens. And
Sure enough,
she was like, what do you want to do? So I told her, I want to do meetups because I want this to be something for the community and I want to help other people. And I want to meet people because as a single, I'm like, this fucking sucks. You know, like, dating sucks and I suck at it. So I told her I wanted to do meetups and she said, okay. And literally that conversation
grew
from, it was like, boom. And then, like, days later, it just kept going and going and we're here now.
So I love just the idea about about dating and stuff, and I want to dive into that. But because this is an entrepreneurship podcast, so we like to talk a little bit about it. Let's start with the seed of ideas, like where Kendria Dates started, and like what you did, and then like how that kind of built into, you know, your meeting with Courtney.
Okay, so I was. Oh gosh, we about to get vulnerable. I love this part. So I was actually single for 7 years. I was dating on and off, and I had a couple of dating relationships, and I just wasn't really putting myself out there. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the type of person that just kind of gets, like, I get stuck on one. Like, I'll get stuck on one and I hold on to that one for as long as I can. Like, anybody that shows me that they're interested in me and that they're, like, half decent, I'll be like, okay, you're mine now.
Yeah.
And I'll just, like, cling on and hold on. And I just found myself in a position like, what the hell am I doing? And I knew I wanted to do something greater with my life. And through even European Wax Center, what I realized is talking to women all day and being in this wax suite with just nothing but women, sometimes men, what do we talk about? We talk about relationships. Mm-hmm. We talk about dating. We talk about the most vulnerable things about ourselves, and everything relates back to dating. So it just kind of clicked. Like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to vlog about my experiences and my struggles and my wins with dating, and I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's crazy is when I was doing it, the when I started it, I wasn't dating. I wasn't active with dating. I just was like choosing topics to talk about, and I would talk about it and get like really interactive with my audience. And then
you were really good at that, by the way, when she first started and she was getting like engaged with her, you know, her followers. Because how many followers do you have now?
900 something.
But what did you start at?
Like, who's counting though?
But no, you know what I mean. Like, that's like, I feel like your engagement has grown through your followers because you actually like you reply to them. You know, you're like, hey, what do you guys want to listen to, or what do you guys want to hear, or what do you guys want to talk about?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that's such a good. I think you're good at that.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that, and that's actually part of finding my purpose. I feel like this vlog was like going in the direction of just wanting to find purpose of my life and finding deeper meaning.
Yeah,
and then. She showed up.
Yeah,
and she actually helped trigger the like Courtney, like, I mean, I brag different, but like I'm super fortunate to have this woman. I don't want to cry, but I'm super fortunate to have this woman in my life and to have like met her.
So I brought these for a reason.
No, like to have met her, like
because I know you and I can get deep.
Yeah, so yeah, she and I had met at a time that I need a direction without knowing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't it funny how life happens that way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I knew I wanted it. I wanted it. I wanted change. I wanted something different for myself. I wanted something more. And she showed up. And just crazy because, like, our paths as individuals, we both were like, we want something more. We want change. Yeah. We're missing something. We want to do something with our lives. And it just so happened that our paths crossed
at the right moment,
at the exact right moment.
And you're the same for me, you know. It's like you sparked something in me that I was lacking, and that let me really branch out of where I was at.
You guys are gonna make me cry.
Yo, yeah, deep. So like after doing this vlog, I mean, just starting it, like with having her on my team, she was like my direction, and like she just was like, this is where we're gonna go. And I look, there was a lot of tears, a lot of fighting, a lot of growth in the past couple of years, but what I realized about dating is that it's definitely a personal journey. And it
100%.
Is definitely about loving yourself and self-love and knowing who you are. And when I first started this, I was completely lost. I had no idea. I still don't know who I am fully, you know. But I had no idea who I was, and just with the help of her, I was able to kind of dive deeper and realize that about myself. Yeah. And this vlog, you know, when in the beginning I was doing all that engagement, and I kind of fell off on that because I needed to lose myself a little bit.
To find yourself.
To find myself, yeah. So
I like that. I like that perspective because, you know, my roommate Chris, he puts it like this. He's like, dating gets really awkward as the older you get, you know, and it gets weirder.
Yes.
And but like, you know how you're talking about finding yourself first, and how dating is, it's a very personal endeavor. It's because I think where a lot of us get caught up in dating and, you know, like falling by the wayside with the whole concept, is that we're thinking about it from the other person's perspective, but rather it's about finding who you are and seeing, you know, who complements that, you know, and expressing that in different ways with other people.
Yes.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think that's why I'm such a big fan of what you guys are doing. You know, because I love love. I fucking love love.
Girl, who you telling? Who you telling? Shoot.
You know what I mean? And like, but it's so complex. It's so intricate. There's so many things that happen, and it's, you know, it's almost like taboo for us to talk about it and get into the nitty gritty, you know, of being vulnerable and, you know, just exposing ourselves, being honest, right?
Yes.
So the fact that you guys are providing a platform for us to actually do that, and for a more mature audience nonetheless, you know, who knows exactly like what it is that they'd like, and, you know, maybe not jumping into something serious, but wanting to be involved with a group of people who, you know, want a positive experience, you know, in dating or just connecting, because that's really what it is about. Dating is connecting, you know, and I like that.
I found that, you know, so I got so lost in the question that I didn't even like get to the destination I originally was gonna get but
sorry, I do that. By the way, I do that a lot.
Okay,
I go on tangents.
That's actually good. Yeah. I like that.
That's where the gems are.
Yeah, exactly. So when I had gotten back into dating, and I was like, I'm just gonna put myself out there. Like, I wasn't doing anything about my love life. I was literally like just going home. I mean, I was home at the gym or at work. Like, that was my life.
Yeah.
Just this freaking like cycle of like nothingness. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna go back to online dating. And online dating, dude, online dating is a beast. It's a freaking beast. I just realized, like, we have zero, like, empathy for each other. Yeah.
It's wild. I mean,
I'm not zero empathy for each other.
I'm not dating online. Like, that's not something I've explored yet. But, like, my one of my really good friends is. And the horror stories.
Yes.
The horror stories that I get from that woman. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. What I love about online dating is how easy it is to make a connection, to at least meet somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to go anything deeper than that is rough.
Yeah.
And statistics actually show only one of every 500 swipes actually lead to something meaningful.
Huh.
And that's kind of like a large, like, that's
a lot of
that's
swipes.
A lot of swipes. That's a lot of swipes. You know, like, that's a lot of work, you know. So we just want to be able to provide people an opportunity to meet in a different way, and we're just pretty much facilitating that.
You kind of step away from, like, hookup culture.
Yeah. And we wanted to do ages 27 to 40 because, one, it's our age range. Mm-hmm. You know, it's where we're at, and
I just made the cut.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're so mature though, girl. Yeah. You're so beyond your years I would have wanted you to come anyway. We wanted to target this audience because longevity wise, we want to actually build a culture. Mm. We want to help build a culture, make some change in our culture. And there are so many people out there that want the same thing.
Yeah.
We all want deep connection and love and support. And there's so much of that that's not. You know, like, it's just like you feel alone when you're out in the dating world, especially in the online dating world, you feel alone. So we wanted to provide a space so people, like you said, of the wanting the same thing, can come to our event and experience
to build
that.
A connection culture.
Yeah. Ooh, instead of hookup culture, connection.
Connection culture.
We need to hashtag that.
Yes, yeah. Hashtag connection culture. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But even, like, especially in Hawaii too, you know, that's the other thing, is like, it's not just online dating.
Girl, this is a whole topic of discussion.
Hawaii dating. I mean, Hawaii just like Hawaii anything, right? We have we're in our own little bubble.
Oh, girl.
And so, like, it's just so many, what do you call
it? It's different. It's different. It's a different mentality.
Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, I've been talking about this with a couple friends of mine over the last 3 days. Like, Hawaii is just, like, the culture, you know, a lot of us never leave, right? So, what we were talking about was the concept of casual dating.
Yeah.
Like, I was telling this guy, one of my friends, about, you know, a couple of the dudes that I'm dating, and I was just, like, talking about, you know, their differences and, like, how, you know, the whole casual thing works, and this guy is, I think he's, like, 24, so he was like, you're dating more than one person? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, they know about each other? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, so I've seen that in movies, but I didn't know that, like, people actually do that. And I'm like, that's casual dating. Yeah.
And he's 24.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, that happens. That's a thing. But, you know, a lot of people from Hawaii don't realize that. And it's not something they're okay with because it's always been a singular, do they call it?
Monogamous.
Yeah, monogamous relationship, which is not a bad thing. It's monogamy is definitely not a bad thing. But it's like, to get to monogamy, it doesn't have to always be just monogamy.
Because the problem is, like, a lot of couples will end up settling.
Yeah.
Just because they've been together forever.
For some reason, we have this scarcity mindset where you're literally just thinking, like, I can't get better than what I already have, or there's nothing better out there, and this is the best I can get, so I'm just gonna stick to this one. Yeah, scarcity mindset. For some reason, a lot of us have that type of mindset, like, this is the best we can get, we don't want to go anywhere else, or even
not even about, like, oh, this is, you know, like, it, like, the relationship in particular not being good enough, but more so, you know, bringing it back to the point about dating being a very personal endeavor, like, people aren't as in tune with themselves enough to give themselves the opportunity to get to know themselves, you know?
Yes.
And, like, when you're stuck in a relationship that isn't growing you or serving you, sometimes, and it's comfortable, especially if it's comfortable, sometimes that endeavor is extremely scary.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, to find yourself outside of a relationship.
Yeah.
To be honest, that for me came about because I was forced into it. Yeah. I was forced to figure out who I was outside of the relationship I had gotten out of at that time. And I honestly, I think that if I was not forced, I'm not sure if like I would have gone down that.
You would have left the comfort zone, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I would have left that comfort zone. And I'm really glad that I did.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you did too, because girl, yeah, use popping, boo boo, use popping.
But the but that's the thing about like vulnerability too, you know, like to be vulnerable, to like sit in that discomfort, that's where you grow, you know. That's where you like explore yourself and find yourself. But if you never allow yourself to stay in that place, like you're just you're gonna stay stagnant.
That was the biggest thing that I pulled from that, the beginning stages of that experience, was how do I figure out how to be okay being alone. How do I figure out how to enjoy my own company? That sucked. It sucked so bad. But I'm so glad I figured it out.
I'm glad you did too.
Thank you.
That was the vlog too. For Kendra Dates, that's pretty much the direction I was at, was like discovering myself and doing it.
I remember
it,
that.
In a public way, like doing it where I was like recording videos of like crying and just like a hot mess and then just telling all my truths. But what I found about that was once I got it out and once I just shared my stories and the stories that was most my most pivotal moments, my most heartbreaking moments, everything, all my problems just seemed so much smaller. All my problems just seemed so minimal, and it was like therapy for me. Like the vlog became something that was like therapy, and
I love it.
And and through this journey I've been able to really face myself. Facing yourself is the hardest. I've actually just went through this whole week, like becoming an entrepreneur. This is something so brand new for me. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, honestly. I have no clue what
Who
I'm
does,
doing
though?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, and I'm just like, what do I do, like freaking out. And then all my old like patterns come up, right? Like all my old like crap about myself comes up, and then I have to like face it. So but I know that like this pain that I'm experiencing right now is the pain that I need to get myself to the next level.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, to open that door.
So before we dive into that part, Courtney, what is your like dating experience? What's that been like for you?
So I have been out of the dating scene for maybe the last 12 years. So I've been with my boyfriend since high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So been together for 12 years. We own a house together. But it's definitely not, like, everyone here is, like, high school sweethearts and, like, oh, it's so romantic and nice. But it's been hard.
Yeah.
It's definitely been a struggle. I think for me especially, I come from a family that was, my parents had a really nasty divorce. And I basically grew up in that, like vowing to never be in a relationship like that, because my mom would like tell me things like, don't ever settle. Like we would get in the van and she would be like, don't ever settle. And like, and it just really stuck with me. And so in this relationship, which was even him and I together, that was even like a few years in the making. Like if you talk to people from high school, I like hardcore friend zoned him for years, and he was like, he told me he loved me before we were even together. It was kind of amazing to me, and I was just telling him like, you don't know what love is, like why are you telling me you love
you're
me?
Like 16, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you know about love?
Like exactly. And so, but it's funny because look at where we are now. You know,
I feel so old saying that. 27.
Girl, I'm 34. Stop.
Nah, yeah, we're young. We're still young.
30 is a new 21, I think.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so 12 years together. It's been lots of ups and downs. Coming from that mindset of, you know, if I'm going to get married, it needs to be right.
It needs to be it.
I'm not going to just stay with this guy because we've been together forever.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for me was realizing that he and I are very different. We have the same values, and that's why we're so successful as a couple, but personality wise, communication wise,
couldn't be further from each other.
We're very different. I feel everything, like the deepest depths of the ocean, and he can like things just roll off.
He's like
nothing. And I mean, a lot of that is like, you know, male, female, yeah, to a certain extent. But I do think we're at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Personality-wise.
And so for me, it was like, growing up in that relationship, there was a lot of things that I just accepted, but later came to realize that I was actually kind of being neglected in certain ways, especially emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because he didn't care, it was just because he didn't know how. Mm. He didn't know how to talk about those things. You know, when I would get upset about something, he would change the subject because he was trying to make me feel better. But what that did was it reinforced my things of not feeling seen,
yeah,
or heard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to come to that realization, I mean, we've been through some trials for sure.
Yeah.
And what I've come to realize is that I wasn't trusting him. And not in the conventional way of like sleeping around,
yeah,
or anything.
Yeah, no, like, just like trust.
And
yeah,
that really went back to my parents' divorce. You know, it's like my own dad did all the worst things, you know? And so for me, it was like, I think I carried that distrust into my own relationship, super cynical. Mm. And I've always told my friends, like, oh, it's never gonna work. Like, from the moment, from before we were together, the time we were getting together, even after, I was constantly like saying, like, if it doesn't work out, like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine. But it's like, in that, you're not, I wasn't surrendering to the relationship. I wasn't trusting,
ooh,
him to take care of me.
Ooh.
I was almost waiting for him to disappoint me.
Yes.
And in that, like, everything just reinforced itself, and we were just miserable in this miserable.
I like that you said that about trusting your partner, because it, you know, I think, you know, we were talking about like the local mentality, you know,
mm-hmm,
I think that's the extent of what people think trust is, like just trusting your partner not to mess around on you.
Yeah.
But really, like, you're trusting, I mean, think about it, like, you lay your head next to this person every night,
mm-hmm,
like, you're trusting them with your life,
yes,
you know, with your livelihood, with your,
yeah,
spirit.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to trust that you can be honest, you can be yourself,
mm-hmm,
you know, you can be the worst parts of yourself,
yes,
and they'll have your back.
Yeah.
And I like that, because that's a very big deal. And
yeah,
you know what, I'm really glad we have this dynamic between you guys, because, like, you know, relationship,
mm-hmm,
long term,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
then we're dating, like, that's,
yeah,
such a great dynamic to have, you,
yeah,
know, in this endeavor you guys are taking on. I love it.
Thank,
yeah,
you.
So here for
thank
it.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah,
yeah,
actually, our relationship is a major reflection of what our brand stands for as a whole, because two totally different personalities, two totally different life experiences, but our values and our morals are exactly the same.
Ugh.
So we were able to push past all the differences,
uh-huh,
and really find the core of what we have in common, and that is just like such a beautiful thing. So just real quick, our brand is Real Social, and Real stands for Restore Empathy and Love. Yeah, so
you guys.
So,
okay, like, I liked the name as it was, and I didn't know that it was, you know, it was an acronym.
Yes,
mm-hmm,
yeah, good Restore job. Empathy and Love.
Yeah.
So Restore Empathy and Love comes from,
mm-hmm,
a reflection of what, not,
yeah,
just our mission, but,
mm-hmm,
who we are as,
yeah,
not a couple, but, you know,
as a duo.
As a duo,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you,
yeah,
know, so my previous recording session, we were actually talking about that, about, like, you know, on the entrepreneur side, like, a business is a business, right? But it will, I don't personally believe that it will flourish and it will be everything that it can be without the holistic person behind it.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah. And so, when, like, dude, this entire, like, conversation about your brand is just, it's so on point,
mm-hmm,
because that, like, that's exactly, you know, that's exactly how you know what you're doing is something you're passionate about, and what you're doing is something that you can be proud of.
Yeah.
Because it's something you care about.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is a reflection of you.
Totally.
Big time.
Yeah. Or
big
not
time.
Even a reflection, it's an extension.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
I mean,
yes,
anyone starting something from scratch, you're gonna have to basically, like, kill yourself to get it done.
Girl.
You're gonna have to, like, throw
everything. We were just talking,
like,
about this.
All the chips.
Just talking about this.
You know, so you have to, like, love it.
Yes.
In order to
yeah,
be in on it.
Yes.
If you don't love it, then you're gonna fail.
Yeah.
That's the surest way to fail.
Yeah.
So.
I just had my most recent, like, experience with that. Like, my first real life learning experience, you know, with that particular thing. And I was thrown into a crazy situation, and it was just me that I had to rely on, and I just needed to get it done.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And by the time that I had finished what it was I needed to accomplish that day, I was so mentally gassed.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, this is, I felt like I worked out,
but I had
just done mental work all day.
Yes.
And I thought about it and I was like, holy shit, I love this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so tired, but I want to go to the gym and just beast my workout and go home and be satisfied, because like, I am like tired, but I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great. And it sucked, but it was great.
Yeah, like, exactly. You know? That's how you know. Yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
You have to love the mission to like really
the longevity.
The
it's the
clouds and dirt thing, right?
Yeah.
That's what Gary Vee says, is like, you have the clouds or like the mission, like your end all, and in the meantime you gotta just play in the dirt, because that's what it takes.
Finding joy in the process is what it is. If you can find joy in the process and find joy in the crap of it, then you know that you're on the right path.
What's been the biggest challenge for you guys so far?
Getting over my self-doubt.
Yeah.
Building my own confidence.
What mental faculties do you have in place for yourself to get through that?
Ooh.
Because that's very deliberate. Like,
yeah.
You have to be, you know, intentional about getting over your doubts and your insecurities.
Well, first step for me is self-awareness.
Huge.
Yeah, first step for me is self-awareness, and I've gotten really good at becoming self-aware. Mm-hmm. I still have a lot of work to do, but right now I'm at a point where I'm recognizing it. It's almost like I'm now looking at myself outside
yeah,
of myself,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, bitch, get it the motherfucking together, you know, like, you got this. But it's also for me understanding where my pain, where my self-doubt comes from.
Mm.
Recognizing that, understanding that, facing that, and healing from that. And that's super difficult.
Oh, extremely.
Super difficult. Yeah,
you know, like you mentioned, like facing yourself, that's hard.
It's the hardest thing ever.
Some people never do it.
And
now that I know what that's like, now that I know who I can become because of that, because I'm able to face who I'm not proud to be, the parts of me that I don't like, man, I'm like, dude, I don't want to go back to that bitch I was. Like,
yeah.
Who's she?
I don't
know her. Like, no,
but you know her.
Yeah.
And we have empathy for her.
Yes. But to backtrack on that, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I do know her. And I, you know what? I'm proud of her.
Exactly. She was doing the best that she knew how at the time.
Yes. And I feel like that's a lot of people find themselves in that situation where they internally they know what they want, and what they want is to be fulfilled and to be happy, to feel safe, but they don't know how to do that with themselves or with other people, like you were saying about your boyfriend. So that's tough, man.
It is.
Do you ever find yourselves like blowing your own mind with like your perspective?
Hell yeah,
girl.
Hell yeah.
Listen,
hell yeah.
I do that all
that's
the time.
So funny.
I swear to God, like, I need to know that this is not just me, because like, I'll have thoughts, right? Like, you know, or if I have doubts or something like that, or if I'm working through something internally, mentally and emotionally, I'll run through it. You know, with the self-awareness I've gained now, I'm able to get down to the root and continue to break down until I get to exactly what it is that is the cause of how I'm expressing myself.
Yes.
And so sometimes when I get to that point and I have my aha moment and I'm like, okay, that's what it is.
Yes.
I'm like, bitch.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I'm like, girl,
it feels good to do that, though.
It does.
Well, you feel like you got hit by a bus first of all. But once you recover from that, it's the best.
It feels good.
Yes.
Yeah. For me, I realized the same pattern shows up everywhere in my life.
Yes.
Which is, I'm not good enough. That is the pattern. That is like the feeling that I get. So anytime I feel inferior, or anytime I feel like less than, I snap. I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm like, that's when my emotions rage. So I had to understand where that comes from, and that goes way back to my childhood, which I'll save, but you know, like, yeah, that it's, and I realized that I'm not good enough literally shows up in everything. Dating, it shows up for me in dating, it shows up for me in my with relationships with my family, it shows up for me financially, even at work, like in all aspects of my life, the same pattern plays out. So I'm happy to say that I recognize it now. It's just a matter of fixing it and going forward
and healing, moving, like,
and healing it. Yeah, healing it. Yeah, understanding.
Restoring empathy and love within yourself.
Well, for myself, yes. Cool. Keeping it real. Keeping it real. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks. Yeah. What about you? What's been your experience with all of that? You know, kind of like with your relationship. What's your other half's name?
Zach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How's that with Zach? You know, how did you guys grow through that? Because you were saying he had, you know, he wasn't aware of, like, you know, his communication and, mm-hmm. you know, you were searching for something else. Like, mm-hmm. where did you guys, you know, meet in the middle? How did that happen?
Well, so it was lots and lots of therapy. Mm-hmm. It was like maybe we've been going to therapy now maybe close to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it actually didn't start with our problems.
Yeah.
It started because we had just started working together at my family business. And
with the precautionary mind,
like waiting for this relationship to just explode at any minute.
Maybe
I was like, oh no.
Business in the mix.
Yeah, like we need to go to therapy so we have some rules and, you know, make sure this doesn't end us, right? But it turned out that it uncovered all of those other things.
Kind of like peel back the layers.
Yeah.
And so
therapy has been huge. She ended up suggesting that we each get our own therapist, which was a big thing, because he didn't even want to do the couples therapy in the first place. That was a struggle to get him to agree to that. But
you think it was stigma or pride?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think it's really hard for men to, even women. I mean, it's hard for
anybody,
especially local people. Mm-hmm. They think that something's wrong with you if you have to go to therapy, but that's just not the case. And so, I mean, if you're asking how we got through that I really do credit that therapist with it. And the great part is she's actually working with us on our events.
She's
all for it. She truly loves what she does. So, but
she really loves what we're doing too.
Yeah.
Like the support that we're receiving from her. We're so thankful for it.
But she actually ended up suggesting that we do a contractual separation. Mm. So just to like separate on agreed upon terms. And really in that time, it allowed me to like just be by myself and like really listen to myself, figure out what I needed, and then vice versa. Same thing with him.
Yeah.
And so just through that, and really I need to credit him with his, like, he just did not want to give up. I mean, I think I wanted to give up a lot of times and just say, you know what, this is just not it. But yeah, he didn't want to give up, and it carried us through, and we were able to work on the communication skills, work on, you know, the emotional intelligence part of it.
That's all a big of that. One. Yeah. Emotional intelligence.
So that now we're both fulfilled, you know?
Yeah. Girl, that's where it starts.
Yeah. I'm still working on that.
Take us to church.
Yeah. I'm still working on that. That's hard.
Yeah. I had a very similar experience with a longtime boyfriend of mine, and we were together for 7 years, and actually this is where, you know, my personal journey with like entrepreneurship and finding myself started. You know, I was telling you, like, I had to figure out myself out. I was forced into it.
Mm-hmm.
We had been together for so long. I had met him when I was, I think, 17 or 18. And he was 21, 22. Mm-hmm. So we were very young.
Yeah.
And by the time, you know, we had hit almost the 7 year mark, we had been together our entire adult lives.
Yes.
And, What ultimately broke us up was that I started trying to do like internal, you know, growth and like, you know, mm-hmm. self-development.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He wasn't really quite caught up to that yet. You know, we were both stuck in our old patterns.
Yes.
And, you know, we were still the kids we were. And I was trying to not be that child. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was trying to grow in myself. And and, you know, we had such a deep bond that like I wasn't. Like, I wanted to grow for myself so that I could be better for him.
Totally.
You know, and that's what, I mean, I wasn't trying to be a good person for my partner. I, you know, he inspired me. That love that we had inspired me to be a better person.
Mm.
And, like, because we weren't on the same, like, mental wavelength and emotional wavelength, it ultimately tore us apart. But fortunately, I don't know if I ever told you about this, but fortunately, we are really good friends now.
Yeah,
you know,
that's awesome.
Like, when we broke up, we were literally arguing over nothing.
Yeah.
That was what broke us up.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, look, we are fighting over something that literally did not happen. So we need to take a step back. And obviously, you know, he was upset and he was angry and he was like, you know, he was throwing things at me like, that's not love. Like, you don't love me because you're not fighting for us, you know, and this and that. And he was a really good fighter. But my point to him was like, no, like, I get what you're talking about fighting for something that is good, but this is not good. You know, we are not our best selves, and we deserve our best selves.
Yeah.
And I told, what I had told him was, you know, you might think that this right here is not, like, this is not love, but because of where I'm coming from, this is the biggest act of love I can do for you and for us, you know, and he's still one of my best friends, and we were able to grow from that individually, you know, and, like, that's what we needed. Unfortunately, you know, we couldn't stay together to figure that out, but, like, like you said, you know, we had to find ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, it was, that was,
you
like,
have to.
It was, like, probably the equivalent of you getting separate therapists, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, exactly. It was exactly that.
Yes.
And now that we're friends, you know, we're starting to relearn who we are, you know, who we are now today.
Yeah.
And I think that that is, regardless of, you know, what happens between us, I think that that's a very foundational point for any kind of relationship.
Totally.
Yes.
You know, like, understanding and learning the person as they are, not what you expect them to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I have much experience in long-term relationships, but I hear you.
Just to have, like, a conscious relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, what you said, like, about how you did it, like, for him, like, for me, my thing was, like, I'm doing this for, like, my future kids.
Yes, exactly, you know?
It's
exactly
like, like, because, honestly, I could probably fight all day, every day. Like, I could do that. I can handle it. But just to hear myself sometimes, I was just like, what the hell am I even saying? How is it even getting to this point? And this is not healthy to raise a family in. So why am I gonna keep this up?
And that's the direction we were going. Like, right about the time that we broke up, I was supposed to move to California and we were gonna start the rest of our lives together. And I was like, that was really what did it for me, was like, I heard the way that we were talking to each other, and I was like, this is not the kind of relationship that I want my children to use as a template for the rest of their lives, the relationships they build, whether it's romantic or platonic, you know? That's crazy.
Yeah, totally. I feel you.
Some deep shit.
It's hella deep, girl. It's hella deep.
That's what we're here for.
Yes, yes, so, absolutely.
So what are like the most like awkward like dating situations you guys have been in?
Oh man, I had a dude pull out his wee wee.
Oh god, that's not even awkward. That's like
just harassment.
Yeah.
That's
just
okay. So we want awkward. So not.
Wait, what? The, like, were you guys on a date?
We didn't even make it to the date. Yeah, we were. We met up at Walmart. Because I don't know, you know, I met him online.
You met him at Walmart.
No, like, we met up at Walmart. So I met him online and we went on this. He had asked me out on a date and I said, okay, fine. But for some reason, I had like this intuition that told me, like, was like, I don't know, this energy I'm getting him from him is not comfortable, right? So met him at Walmart and then I told him, I'm going to drive. So I had him hop in with me and we were driving into town and like, from the side, like, he was like, I could feel him burning a freaking hole through the side of my freaking face, like, with his eyes, right? And like, finally I look over and he's just like holding
God.
So I literally like I was like, get the hell out. Get the hell out.
Good.
Was it nice though? What? Oh, I didn't even look. I was scared, girl. I was like, you couldn't even wait till after the date.
That's creepy. That's super creepy.
You know, what the hell? Yeah. So that was so that's creepy. I guess not awkward.
Did you just say you couldn't even wait till after the date?
I was like, No, seriously, though. Like, you might have gotten some if you waited a little.
You know what I mean?
That was very assumptive. It was super awkward. I just did not. That was like a WTF, a big WTF.
That is so wild.
Yeah.
You know, so as I live vicariously through some of my other single friends and like and a little bit of my own experience too, like, I never realized how awkward some people really are.
Yes.
Until like you start spending time with them and you're like,
what?
Why are you like this?
Yeah. But that's the thing too, is like trying to understand. Like, I mean, it's, I don't know. I guess it's like you're trying
it's
to
human
also.
Human nature.
Yeah, human nature. Like just trying to understand where they're coming from or like really getting to know it. But then it's great in the sense of you want those awkward things. Like, you want to discover these awkward things about people because you want to know what it is
what
that
you like.
Yeah, what you like and don't like. Yeah. So, like,
yeah. Because what's awkward to you might be like a gold mine
for somebody else.
Like, that does it for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people like might have been like full set.
Stutters are fine.
Yeah, people are so weird. But you're right, you're right. It is about finding, you know, discovering people. Because that is something that I'm learning too, incrementally as I go along and meet more people through, you know, my work and through the podcast. It's like human nature. There's no normal.
There is no
status quo
for
none of that.
Not at all, girl.
And we're all interconnected, you know? It's like, and your happiness is linked to that person's happiness. I mean, it just... We're all in this together at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So how do you guys connect, you know, your personal lives with your business? Because you know how, like, a lot of people will say you never mix business and personal. But with what you guys are doing now, it's very much that.
Personal.
It's very personal, you know? So, you know, how does your personal life lend to your business life and vice versa?
I'm going to need a little bit of time to think about this answer for myself. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, like, the business is a channel for my personal life. You know, this is everything that I've just been doing on the side. I mean, I'm a CPA. I've been working at accounting firms and, you know, I was an auditor. Like, but yet I was in these audit rooms, like at a table like this for, like, 12 hours a day, like, talking to people about their past and, like, you know, digging deep and connecting with everyone from all different places. But for me, it was like like, I knew that was my passion, but at the same time, it was like, how could I, like, make that into a career? You know, I didn't want to be a psychologist because I just felt like that's, like, too much. But yeah, so for me, all of these, you know how you said, like, the insights that you come up with on your own and you're just like, oh my god, this is gold.
Like, I write this down.
So, like, I'm able to take all of those, like, things that really bring me joy and, like, feed my creativity, you know, and, like, philosophical terms, just everything, and, like, make it into a tangible thing that I can share with the community. So, and then even just, like, our growth, you know, like, I feel like we are truly examples of what we're preaching, because we are pushing ourselves to get to know ourselves and then to then, like, branch out and connect with others and just letting that be the magic.
I like that, because that's how I feel about this podcast, you know. It's like, I'm a new realtor, you know, and I struggled for my first 6 months, didn't make a goddamn dime. You know, this entrepreneur, I'm trying to get people on here to tell their stories about these experiences, because, you know, self-sustainability, financial stability, you know, all of this, like, it doesn't come easy.
No.
But, you know, with social media, it looks easy, you know, and nobody likes to talk about their, like, their shitty times. Nobody likes to talk about the time where, like, they were broke and they had to rub two nickels together, you know, to make a dime. And, like, but that's exactly what it is. And as I get these people to tell their stories, I'm also living mine vicariously, you know. And it's like, this challenges me to get up every day and give my best, because how can I, like, have this platform and not walk the walk, you know? You know what I mean?
I gotta get going.
I got things to do. I would say for mine, it's the same as Courtney. I'm actually glad she brought that up. It is definitely a I feel like I'm walking in my purpose now. I feel so good about what we're doing that I know this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think for me, it's more of this is gonna kind of might sound conceited to some people, but I've honestly always wanted to be famous. Always, even as a little girl, I've always had this external, like, oh, like, I just want to be seen and heard. And I also always had a very strong desire to connect to people. Always, ever since I was a little girl, I always just was, like, genuinely curious, genuinely caring. And my biggest strength is the fact that I can talk to anybody about anything, you know, regardless of like what walk of life they come from. So it's just like living like what I know like I was created to be, and that just gives me so much peace knowing that I'm doing that.
What did you guys have an aha moment where you were like, where like, you know, you made that realization like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing? Have you had that?
I feel like I've had many of that.
Things have just been falling into place.
And it just resonates. It further validates that you're on the right path.
Yeah.
I hear that. Because I felt the same thing too with this, you know. My mom, so my parents and all my immediate family and extended family is all in Texas. When I graduated, we did the reverse college thing. I stayed here. They moved. For years, this was 2010, so 10 years my mom has been trying to get me to move out to Texas, but I've kept telling her like something's always just kept me here. I didn't know what it was. And I've been saying this since I was 21 22.
I just knew
something was keeping me here. And I was like, mom, I don't know what it is yet. I haven't figured it out. But like I need to figure it out. And so it wasn't until like, you know, at my previous job working in the telecommunications industry that I started, you know, learning about entrepreneurship and started branching out. Then the idea for the podcast came about. And I was like, holy shit, like I think this is what it is, you know, because it was the opportunity to be able to help people, to be able to expand my own mind, and in turn, you know, help maybe expand other people's, you know, who knows, right? Yeah. And connecting with people, like you said, I love to talk to people. I love to meet different people and like, you know, hear about what makes them tick. You know, like who are you? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love getting to know people.
Yes.
And so through this, like, everything that has kind of accumulated to me being in this moment right here right now with you guys, it always further validates, like you said, there's been multiple things that just reminds you you're in the right place.
Yes, totally. And I think we're fortunate too, because the nature of our business is so personal. You know, I mean, that's how we designed it, right? So it's like almost all the personal things, for good or bad, like that's what's going into it, you know, that's how we're developing this, is from our own personal lives, our own personal experiences, and even just from people we've meet, you know. We're trying to build a collective, like, and address all of the personal issues.
So from the entrepreneur's perspective, right, because it's easy to sit here and say, like, you know, we've been finding ourselves and like, you know, we've had our aha moments and like validation and all that, but like for you guys personally, what did it take for you guys to get to a point where you were open enough with yourself to allow that to happen for you? Does that make sense? Where, because, you know, we can always, like, people will have their idea, their great ideas, they'll have their great passions, but people don't always necessarily allow it to fill them. You know what I mean? Because of, you know, vulnerability or insecurity, whatever it is.
I mean, that's like the story of my life, basically, is like I've always been an overachiever. So from high school, from elementary to middle school to high school, I was always involved in extracurriculars, like every minute of my time. You know, went to college, did a double major. Then as soon as I was out of college, I went straight into working for this big four accounting firm.
He was working.
I mean, I bought my house at 21.
Oh, girl. Yeah.
And like,
it's she a boss.
I mean, but I was
sticking around at that point.
I was so like, I wanted to get my shit right.
Yeah.
And I did for the most part, but I was really, you neglecting.
Know what I mean?
Like who I was in that, because I was so busy accomplishing. I would not change it for the world, because it got me to where I am now. But I think for me, I had accomplished this, accomplished that, had started my own business, was making the most money that I had made in my career. And I still found myself putting the work off. And I had been listening to a lot of Gary V at the time.
Love
Gary
him.
Vaynerchuk. Yeah. Mm. And, you know, I'm like saying amen in my car, like driving on my way to work. And I think when it dawned on me that, wait a minute, I have this great flexible schedule, I'm working from home, I have these great clients, but I still don't want to do the work. Okay, something's off. And then it was like, what he says is, you know, you have to love what you do, because you're going to be, you know, in the dirt doing it every day. And in today's technological climate, you can do anything you want. As long as you have a passion for it, 100%. You have all the tools available to you. So hearing that and just like it made me pause to think, okay, so what would I just love to do? What gets me excited, you know? And for me, it was like when I would plan the company parties, I just loved it. And I thought I did a pretty good job of like having everyone interested. And then even thinking about, you know, my audit rooms with everyone and almost having like these unofficial counseling sessions. So yeah, just that kind of got me thinking, and I felt like a fire. Mm-hmm. I felt a spark when I thought about that. And so for me, I held on to that. And then that was the same time that me and Kendria met.
Yeah.
And that spark was just like, you know what? We can totally do this.
So it was like a choice to lean into that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
And I think for me, I very much, like I said, I want to make sure I get it right. And I knew that if I kept on the path that I was, although it's very practical, it wouldn't be sustainable for me. I knew I would get tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this was actually the logical choice. This mm-hmm. was actually the safe choice, was to, I mean, it's weird that it's simultaneously safe and the most risky, but for my personal self, like, it's what I knew I needed to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it was just being stagnant. So it was the opposite. I was stagnant. Mm. I hit a point where I was like, I don't want to be doing this no more. Sorry, are we...
No, you're good. Okay. I was just making sure we're recording.
Oh, okay, okay. yeah, I was stagnant. I just felt like I didn't... I was like, I don't want to be doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I've already answered this question-ish. Wait, oh, what was the question? Look at me, I'm sorry, like, I got lost.
Moment, no, you're fine. What was the moment that, like, made you...
Yeah, or, like, how did you
allow yourself...
Your passion to fill you and lean into it.
Because, right.
You know, we don't always give ourselves the permission to, you know, lean into the things that we are actually...
Scary. Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's not practical, like you said, you know? So, what empowered you to lean into this passion that you found for yourself?
Trusting my intuition for once in my life.
Mm.
You know, like really
trusting
it. I like
that you said for once.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of us go our entire lives not trusting ourselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I strongly believe that our intuition is everything. Like, our intuition is extremely mm-hmm. strong. Like, a lot of times mm-hmm. I realize, like, I feel like for me that's a gift. You know, and my entire life I've ignored it. I let fear drive all my decisions in life.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So and I was just at a place where I was like, you know, stagnant, not liking my life, mm-hmm. not liking the direction it was taking, and it was just a willingness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, just do it.
Being
just
open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then realizing, like, I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I have nothing to lose.
Yeah. That was a big one, man. You know, for me personally, like, once, you know, that relationship had ended and, you know, because I was about to move, you know, and start a whole new life, like, my entire life flipped upside down. And that was, like, it was pretty much rock bottom, you know, and, like, at that time, I didn't know how to be in my own company. I didn't know who I was outside of my relationship.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like, I have nothing to lose, you know, and like zero. I mean,
you're
the roof
still
over
young,
my head, you know.
You know,
but
you guys didn't have kids. But,
you know, we didn't have any kids.
You know,
yeah,
it's just you that you have mm-hmm. to worry about.
Yeah, and that was kind of what opened my entire like mind wide open, was the realization that I am 100% in control of every single moment that I have available to me.
Totally.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I do believe that people can achieve this understanding when they are in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it took me getting outside of my relationship to realize that, like, this is my ship. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rising tide, boo.
Oh, girl. Yeah. Yeah. Like, and so, and you know, and then and that's really what opened the door to inspire me to, you know, start taking on more challenges. Because when I started this podcast, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, you know, and it was apparent in my work. You know, you could definitely tell. But it was a huge challenge, and it was like, okay, well, if I don't take on this challenge, I'm just going to be the same person I was today.
Exactly. So why not try?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't got nothing to lose. Yeah. Like, I mean, so I end up being the same person I was yesterday.
But you might regret that for the rest of your life if you give up.
Yes. Yeah. And I've, growing. That's a big theme so far.
And life is so short, man.
Yeah.
Especially with everything going on right now in Hawaii, too. Like, all the crime happening and stuff is, like...
It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so finite, but we live as if it's infinite.
Infinite, yeah. Sorry, I was going to say that. I liked what you said about... basically being in the moment, like realizing that that's all you have.
The previous guy that I interviewed, Javi, that I was telling you about, or that you guys met, he made a good point about today and tomorrow. He was saying that he carries around a book, and he writes his goals in there, but he never writes anything past today and tomorrow. He'll write his goals for today, and then he'll write what he wants his goals to be for tomorrow, and depending on how today goes, he'll change tomorrow as it becomes today.
That's pretty sick.
Did he come up with that himself?
I was telling you, he's mature, you guys.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, use a baby. I'm like, no.
Wait, what about a baby?
No, remember, because he's 21.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 21. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I have to just say, because you're asking these questions about basically like what brought us to this point, and even just what you're saying resonates with me so much. Like, I think especially in this moment where we are with our business, a huge source of motivation for me and purpose really comes from something that we went through in 2018, which was that my boyfriend, his oldest brother, he actually was diagnosed with lymphoma. And he ended up passing away 4 months later.
Oh, wow.
At the age of 36.
Wow.
So it's really crazy because he had been doing jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was really living his life to the fullest. And then he ended up dying at the age of 36. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to have my own business. So I was able to just kind of drop everything and be there with him. And that in itself was such a blessing. And Kendria knows, I mean, anyone who really knows me knows how much of an impact his life and death was. Because looking back, like, I never did understand. I couldn't relate to him, because where I said I was very practical, you know, like, buy the house, get the job, you know. He was just always doing what he wanted.
I love it.
And it was like, for me, it was like, oh, like, where is he? He didn't want to show up. But yeah, he didn't want to show up because he wanted to do something different that night. Yeah. And what that led to was he was so intentional with his life. So much so that, I mean, he flew to Peru to do like an ayahuasca ceremony.
I've always been curious about that.
Yeah, no,
before I die.
We'll need to talk about it, because it ended up being a huge moment for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, but just everything. At the end of the day, like, he died so young, but yet he almost did everything he had set out to do. And we know it because he wrote a bucket list that we were actually, like, you know, going through. And we're like, he did that, he did that, he did that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's certain things now, too, that it's like, we're taking on, and I really honestly feel as though everything with this business is from him. I think he was meant to be the catalyst for us to really keep at it. And we were working on this business together. Like, I knew he didn't want to talk about his cancer all the time, so I would bring up the business. What when we were naming it, I was talking about it with him.
Yeah.
And even this love coach that we're bringing in, that was actually his love coach.
Aww. Yeah.
So we wouldn't have connected with her had it not been for Daniel. Yeah.
What a divine, like, interweaving of paths.
It really is.
You want to talk about divine? Like, we could go on and on.
Let's
about
do it. Let's do it.
Well, no, ironically, the week that they found out he had gotten diagnosed with cancer was the week that we had our first meeting together about this business.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
telling you guys. So it was like, look, yeah. I believe in this.
Yeah.
I believe we do too. In, like, you know, the interweaving of our paths and yeah. our destinies and yeah. all that. And I feel that, you know, things that are meant to be for us will happen so long as, one, we're open to it.
Yeah.
And yeah. we are working with it.
Yes.
You know, because, like, I mean, I definitely believe that, you know, things that, you know, are meant for us are meant for us. But if we just sit there and we're waiting for them to come to us, it's never going to come.
It's you not. Know? Yeah.
We have to be proactive.
Yeah.
Is how I feel. And I like what you said about how he did everything he wanted to do.
He did.
Because, yeah, you know, in part of it, you know, building up on that point I made about not having anything to lose,
yeah.
that was another big thing, was I realized that, you know, the whole being in control, it's not about, like, being a boss or anything like that. It's really, like, just taking ownership over the fact that I am a conscious and deliberate creature, and if I want to do something, I can do it.
Yeah.
If yes. I don't want to do something, I don't have to do it.
No.
And your happiness is not dictated by your parents, yes. by your family, yes. by your significant
exactly.
other. It's only dictated by you.
Yes. yes. And it's like, if somebody is not happy with that decision, that's not my problem.
No.
You know what I mean? And not to say that, like, yeah, oh, yeah, just, yeah. you know, who cares?
Right.
But just more so respecting the fact that, like, I am entitled as much as you are entitled
to do what
to
you
living
want.
Your life.
Yeah.
The way you want it.
Totally.
Live it.
But yeah. that's always a reflection of what they're projecting onto you, their own fears,
exactly.
their own, the what they feel that they're incapable yeah. of doing, mm-hmm. you know?
Totally.
So it's, and then having empathy for that. When mm-hmm. somebody doesn't like something that you do, you have empathy because you can understand. It's not that I can't do it. It's that you feel you can't do it.
And you know what's has been an interesting side effect of this particular realization is how it mirrors itself in my interactions with other people. So, for example, right, like, in the same fashion that, you know, if I don't want to go and do something, like, if say for my friends invite me out somewhere and I'm like, you know, I don't really want to do that activity, so I'm just going to stay home. And then in this instance, most people would maybe be worried about what their friends are going to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
they're going to be mad at me.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, in my mind, I'm like, well, you know, if they care about me, if they understand who I am, and, like, they understand that, like, I'm coming from a genuine place, I'm not just blowing them off or whatever.
No.
Like, I got other things I need to do.
Yeah.
Then they'd be cool with it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And, like, when I was saying that it mirrors itself in my relationships, it's the opposite way. So, like, if I'm trying to hang out with somebody, you know, or I'm trying to have somebody, you know, a little bit of someone's time, they're like, oh, no, I can't do that, you know. Before, you'd be like, oh, well, why? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
come on, let's go hang out, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
now I'm like, okay, they've got something going on.
Yeah.
I respect
yeah.
that.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
You know, we'll catch up later or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been such a good thing for my relationships.
Yeah.
It's been such a good thing.
For yourself, too.
For
I'm
myself,
sure.
yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
You don't have to hold on to that anymore.
Yeah. yeah. And you're not beholden to other people.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Totally.
Yeah. yeah.
And realize you are, like, your own walking, like, party. You know what I mean? So no matter what happens, like, no, sorry, I mean,
yeah, no,
it's funny. Like, no matter what happens, like, whether you get rejected by a friend to hang out or whatever
yeah.
the case
yeah,
may be,
yeah.
it's like realizing, like, well, I'm cool to hang out with, so I'm just gonna take my, like, party self somewhere else
yes,
that's gonna appreciate
yes, yes,
me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
you know, like,
just understanding, yeah, being okay with your own life.
Yes, in
yeah.
your own company.
In your own company,
yeah,
exactly,
yeah, yeah.
exactly.
So where do you guys want to take this business? What do you guys envision for the next, like, 5 years?
What do we not envision is the
yeah.
question. We have a lot of ideas and we're so excited about it. So we are not only planning singles mixers, we actually want to do date nights for couples
mm-hmm.
and women empowerment events.
Because I love the space that you guys are in right now, where it's
yeah.
where you're just starting and you're starting to gain a little traction and figure out, you know, who you guys are as a business and as a partnership.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what we want to expand to. And in 5 years, we definitely want to be a staple, like, a name in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just want to be received by the community, basically.
Yeah.
Like, we're pouring our hearts and souls into this, and we just want to be received.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you guys will be.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we also are looking to expand, like, so that's one thing I would like to address too on this platform is that Right now, our age ranges for this single mixer is ages 27 to 40. That's like the biggest pushback we've gotten so far, as people are like upset about that. Mm-hmm. But we hope that the community can understand in the future, we will be having more singles events that are accommodate outside of this age range.
Yeah.
We're going to also be having more events for LGBTQ. And we want to accommodate as... We want to be able to provide an event for everybody, pretty much. Yeah. So to just stay open for that.
But right now, though, like what your business is like, it's like you said, it's a reflection of who you are. So do you guys feel like good about that age range, right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Just to keep everyone comfortable and like, just to feel that. So that they can be open.
Right.
And it's something you guys can directly relate to. It's something you guys can understand.
Yes. Totally. Yeah. So the reason why we chose 27 to 40 was because based on research and also the love coach that we partnered with, her experience with throwing mixers is that if you have an older woman with a younger man, they're not going to take the event seriously because an older woman with a younger man
they're
is most likely
different things.
Yeah. They're looking for different things. So it's going to be a lot of sex, you know? If you have an older man with a younger woman, it's more likely to become like a creepy, like, you know, like not more likely, but it's a possible for that. And, and our goal, our first like goal is a safe environment.
Yeah.
So we just want to be sure of that.
When you have like, you know, the separation of age range, like the margin for it becoming something you don't want it to be is much bigger. Is
yes,
that what I'm getting?
Exactly. Yeah. You said that so beautifully. I went off a full tangent, girl.
But yeah, even like perfect. Imagine like a 60 something year old woman showing up and having to compete with a 20 something year old woman, you know?
Yeah.
Like we just put ourselves in their shoes and it just didn't feel that great. So that's why we
wanted
to keep
it. That's a good point too.
Yeah. And even like with LGBTQ and heterosexual, like we did originally, like we're like, maybe we can mix it. But based off of research, understanding that if we were to throw this mixer with a mix of LGBTQ and heterosexual, somebody would have left feeling left out.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't want that.
I like that, you know, how we were talking about... kind of being authentic about who you are, you know, and just doing what it is that you want regardless of how it looks to other people and respecting yourselves that way because you know what's right for you. I like that that is reflective not only in our personal relationships but in your business as well.
Because
like you said, you know, it's you're getting pushback on it.
Yeah.
But you guys know that for what you're trying to do and what you're trying to create, this is a good starting point.
Yes.
And, totally. And you respect that.
Yes.
I dig it.
Yeah. We hear everybody. You know, we hear everybody. We're taking everything in. Like we're absorbing as much as we can to make our events the best possible thing that we can bring to the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm so excited.
We love you.
For this.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. We've been talking for a minute.
Yes. Yeah. I know you got someplace to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not in a rush to be honest. I've been really enjoying this.
Okay, perfect.
Hold on, let me see what time it is. Yeah, 2? Yeah. I mean, I got to be there at 3. It's just right down the road.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, is there anything else that you guys want to talk about? Like any burning like topics y'all wanted to touch on or
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is that this business is really something different.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally just our brainchild. Like Kendria was saying, it's not just the singles mixers. I mean, especially from my perspective, I'm excited to get into the date nights, you know, to get into those couples events so that I can push other couples to kind of dig deeper in those same ways that I did.
I like that.
Yeah.
I have a question about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does your partner feel? How does Zach feel about what you're doing with this date night and all that?
He's here for it.
Yeah. Zach has been very supportive.
Yeah, that's where we really, we're really good for each other because we really are, we're good being independent and we're good with each other's independence.
Mm-hmm.
And also after everything we went through with his brother, I think the lesson from all of that was there's no time to waste.
Yeah.
You know, we need to find our passions and just go after it because you don't know what's going to happen.
I like that.
Yeah.
And so he, I mean, he's one of my biggest supporters, and I don't know if I could do it, you know, mm-hmm. if I didn't have, he didn't have my back in all this.
So. I love love so much.
Me too. Me too.
You know
Me
what's too. Funny is that I only have recently really learned to love like that.
Yeah.
And I think I was just always waiting for the other shoe to drop. So
yeah.
in this last year or so, I mean, I'm finally on that same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you love love, you're going to love the love coach that we have too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She is
you're
amazing.
Gonna, yeah. That's like, great. Like I just did an interview with her yesterday, and I'm going to post the interview. I got it on film, so I'm so excited about that. But like, it was my first like one-on-one interaction with her.
Uh-huh.
And when I tell you that, like, I fell in love with her. I fell in love with her. Like,
yeah.
she just makes me want to be in love. Like,
yeah.
So I think she's the perfect person for us to have this
yeah.
at the singles mixer, just because she's so, like, light.
I dig That's, it. And, yeah. you know, when I say that I love love, I don't mean that in, like, a platonic sense. Like, you know how you're saying, like, you fell in love with her?
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is going to sound really weird, and people might judge me for this, but, like, I've fallen in love more than I can count
yes.
with so many different people and
yep.
so many different ways,
yes.
you know, and these are both fleeting and,
yes.
you know, long-term type things. But it's like, you know, like you were saying, being open to that idea, like once I realized, you know, just how boundless the concept of love can be and how good it is for us,
yes.
how nourishing it is for our souls. Like,
yeah.
ooh, child. girl, listen.
Yes.
This is why
yeah,
we get
I'm
along.
Like feeling it. Like, yes, preach, girl.
Yes. You know what I mean? Because, like, it is a beautiful thing, and like yeah, just I have this friend, when she sings, like I feel as if like I'm falling in love with her
right.
every single time,
yeah.
and it's, you know what I mean, and it's not even like I want to
yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's like, you are such a beautiful person,
yeah,
and
yeah.
because
yeah.
you are a beautiful person, I want to be a beautiful person.
Yeah,
you know,
love is inspiration.
It is.
Love
awesome.
Is inspiration,
yes.
and that's why it's so important for us to live life in love. Because
yes.
then that's what you spread. You spread that light. You spread that inspiration into other people to want to love themselves.
Yes. And I
yeah.
think that's why I'm such a big fan of what y'all are doing. Because it's not like hookup. Like,
no.
We are really getting deep into this. And we're allowing people to do what people do, which
yeah.
is
connect. Feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Be
empathize.
Themselves. Yeah.
Yes.
Be
yeah.
authentic. That's,
yeah.
that's really our goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so happy. And I really hope that, you know, this is definitely long term for us,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that it becomes a legacy and it's something that we leave behind for generations
yeah.
to come. I have a son, he's 15, and I hope that by building this, he will have something for himself when I'm no longer here, and
yeah.
his generation will have something to take with them.
I'm kind of curious about that. Are you guys good for time?
Yeah,
yes?
I'm,
okay.
Yeah, we're good, yeah.
So having a child and raising him as a single mom, and especially because he's a boy,
right.
you know, like, what is that like for you to raise him, you know, and try to, you know, instill like the values that you have in the, because you know how you talk about like you get the love that you accept.
Yeah.
Like, how do you teach him, you know, what a healthy relationship, what healthy love looks like, both self, love of self and love of others?
By doing it, by being that example to the best of my ability, you know
do
what
that,
I mean?
Girl.
Yeah, yeah. By
yeah.
doing it,
uh-huh.
I'm not perfect though. Like
uh-huh.
I am not the. Oh, I hope I don't get emotional talking about. But I'm not the all-American mom. You know,
mm-hmm.
like my relationship with my son is extremely different. I had him very young. I was 19 when I got pregnant. But so he's grown with me. He saw me
mm-hmm.
at my lowest lows.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like
yeah.
he saw me at my lowest lows. He's been there with me through most of my life so far, like half my life, pretty
yeah,
much
yeah.
almost half my life, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I'm actually very proud of where we're at today, in a sense of like, now that I'm on this journey, knowing that I'm proud of myself, I know that he will be too.
Ugh,
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, so
yeah.
it's just doing, and I don't even want to impose anything of my beliefs or like what I think he should be like or he should do, because
yeah.
his journey
mm-hmm.
is his own.
Yeah. It's different.
And I just want to be able to encourage him that it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to have your own journey.
Mm-hmm.
I can only show you what I know and how I'm doing it. But 10 years from now, he's going to be facing something way different than
yeah.
what we ever had to face.
Yeah.
You know, this his generation and the following, they're not going to experience things that we've ever had to experience. So it's just understanding that, like, if I'm doing what I want to do, just, you know, like going back to that, if I'm doing what I want to do and if I push my own limits and I become the better me possible, that's the best I can do for him.
I love that.
Yeah. And I just hope that I'll be an inspiration for that, you know.
So I don't have kids, obviously, but coming from his perspective, like, I just want to say, like, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Because, you know, similar situation, like, my mom had me at 17. Mm. And obviously, you know, I couldn't understand all the nuances of parenthood as I was growing old. But now that I'm older, mm-hmm. and when I look back on this, and I've gotten to know my mom as her, mm-hmm. as Kiyomi, yeah. not as mom, mm-hmm. you know, it's really opened my eyes a lot. And I have a deep appreciation for, you know, all the things that she did when she was raising me. And now that we're older, you know, my youngest siblings are like 10 and 13. So, you know, they're old enough to take care of their own thing. She started doing more of what she enjoys. Mm-hmm. She takes her mom hat off every now and then. And
yeah.
She does things for herself. Like, she started running half marathons and she started working out and, you know, doing this and that. She goes, like, drinking with her friends and her and my dad have date nights.
I love it.
Yeah, and, you know, like, looking back on everything and realizing that growing up was just as much of a learning experience for her as it was for me,
yes.
between the two of us.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, it completely blew my mind wide open. And it's definitely provided a lot of insight for me as an adult now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I think that, you know, I think your son is definitely going to benefit from watching you do your thing and
Thank
watching you.
You
live your life.
I appreciate it.
My mom's a badass. She is a badass. Mom, if you listen to this, you know what's up. You know
yeah.
what time it is.
Hi, Auntie. We haven't met yet. Hopefully one day. I love, I don't, just real quick, this has nothing to do with it, but I listened to your podcast with Jazan.
I love her.
Yeah, I love her too. We love her too. We're actually going to be meeting her. Yeah. No, this coming week. This coming week, we're going to be meeting up with her. But I love how you mentioned that your dad was breakdancing at your graduation.
He was.
At your high school graduation.
I was like, who is he? Like, he, like, broke it down on the dance floor. And I was like, Dad? Is that my dad? Yeah. And then, you know, like, because, you know, they're my parents. And so I've always known them as mom and dad. You know? And, like, I never knew them as, like, their own individual people.
Totally. Yes.
And, you know, that's probably been one of the best things about having young parents. Because now that, you know, I'm older. Like, my dad is my favorite person to drink with. I love him, you know what
yes.
I mean, like, we get to go and we get to hang out. Like, I haven't had the pleasure of being able to travel with my parents yet, but my siblings have, you know. And I like that they have an opportunity to get to know my parents as they are now,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
rather than like just mom and dad.
Yeah. Totally. I think that's important. Yeah.
Having empathy for your parents as people,
yes,
is like hard. Blows your mind.
It blew my
mind.
I'm learning that.
Every time I think about it, I'm like, damn, how did my mom do that?
Yeah, exactly.
I
that's where the respect like just starts to trickle in.
That's, you know what, that's how you know you're getting old, because like growing up she's always like, you'll understand one day, and I'm like, fuck all that. And here I am,
yeah,
like I understand now. I love
I get
you
it.
I'm lucky too, in a sense that, like, going back to my son thing, I have a whole village that's helping me raise him.
It sure does, man.
So, the influence on my son is not just from me, but it's definitely from everybody that have raised him. And I think that it's important for us to let our kids have as many different, you know, influences in their lives. I think a lot of us pride ourselves on trying to raise our kids by ourselves, you know, like, but in actuality, like, it's not ideal. I think we should be encouraging our children to explore as many different people and having as many different experiences in their life. Sorry, that was a little rant.
I believe that. I mean, because think about it, like, I mean, if your kid only knows three people, dude, the world is gonna hit them hella hard when they find out that they're like, there are more than three personalities on this earth, you know, like, and so it equips them.
For sure.
How are we feeling, guys?
I'm good.
That was a lot.
We covered everything. Yeah, we sure went deep. What is there anything do we want to maybe close off with just the event info?
Let's talk about this event. I want to finish it off with this Valentine's Day singles mixer, because I'm excited for it. I'm gonna bring all my friends, and I want anybody who's listening to take a step outside of their comfort zone if they don't have Valentine's Day plans, and just show up and see what it's about. And give us a little more information.
Okay, so right now we have our tickets on sale at eventbrite.com. The tickets include poo-poos, It includes drinks. You'll get 2 drink tickets, fun games,
and
prizes.
And
yes.
Even low-key activities.
Low-key activities.
Yeah. Like, what does that mean, low-key?
Because, like, not everybody loves, like, the really involved games.
Okay.
And, like, sometimes you just want to, like,
chill.
Okay. So we're trying to plan something for everyone.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to have that. And then we're going to have Helena Summer, who is our love coach, that's going to be facilitating basically the bulk of the event.
And she's amazing.
Yeah, so with what's going to be happening is... Basically, worst case scenario. So what to expect? Worst case scenario is you're going to be leaving the event with at least learning something from the love coach that we have on board. Mm-hmm. That's worst case scenario. Best case scenario is you'll be learning.
You have a great time.
You have a great time. And you might even meet somebody that
you connect with.
You connect with, exactly. Yeah. So we're excited. So yeah. And if you follow us at Real Social High... There is a discount code there for the tickets.
Okay.
So,
this is on Instagram.
This is on Instagram, yeah.
Okay.
And we just really want everyone to come out and be a part of this, like, kickoff event.
You know,
we have such big plans, and we just want to get everyone
involved.
On board.
Everyone involved.
And just to be clear, this is, like, I mean, because I know it's a singles mixer, but, like, are couples welcome?
We're looking for...
Okay. I'll cut that out.
Cool. No, couples aren't welcomed. I was going to say, we're looking for volunteers.
Well, the thing is that we don't want couples to be in the mix, because half of the battle when you're trying to approach someone is, like, you don't know if you're going to get rejected because they're in a relationship. That's why
that makes sense.
With the age group, you know, we want it to be a safe space that there aren't all those barriers.
That makes sense. Damn, you guys really broke this down.
Yes.
Yeah, and not to mention, we're going to make it a rule that you can't exchange numbers.
Yes.
Because that's the other thing, too, is I think the anticipation of rejection feeling guilty. Sometimes you feel guilted into giving someone your number.
Mm. Yeah.
So we're even adding that level of, you know, we're not going to put you in that position.
So how do you propose that, like, they reconnect after?
So as long as each person, or so at the end of the event, we'll give you a sheet with everyone who showed up, and then you let us know who you're interested in. As long as both parties, like, swipe right, basically, then we'll exchange the numbers or the contact info.
Okay.
Yeah. We're still kind of working, like, the details out of that specifically. So that's what's the idea is for now.
Cool.
Yay.
I'm excited for this event.
We're excited to have you, girl.
We're super
excited to have you.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, guys, thank you guys so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure talking to you, but Courtney was definitely a... But it was definitely a pleasure meeting you finally.
I loved it.
Thanks for having us, girl. You're so good at this.
Yeah. Thanks.
This is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're very articulate,
I have a lot of fun. Sometimes I'd be tripping over my words, too, sometimes. I have to, like, warm up. Like.
Yeah, you're very smart.
This was amazing.
Yes, thank you for having us. This is you're popping our podcast cherry, so.
Hey, anything I can do. Great. Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to having you guys on, you know, for additional episodes later as your company grows. And we'll catch up after the singles event.
For sure, girl. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
That is it for this episode of the Rising Tide podcast. Thank you so much again for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode and found some value in the things that we talked about, please don't hesitate to share it with your friends and family. Also, if you wouldn't mind leaving the podcast a review, I would totally dig that. I look forward to hearing any and all feedback that you guys might have for the show. I really want to know what kind of discussions and topics y'all are interested in. How you relate to our talks, and last but definitely not least, if you know of someone who has a great passion and or interesting story to tell, please email me at risingtidehnl@gmail.com, or you can shoot me a DM on Instagram. My tag is @risingtidehnl. We all have a story to tell, and it's just a matter of allowing the world to hear it. So hit me up, drop a name, and let's keep this conversation flowing. Until then, I'll see you in the next episode. Take care and aloha.